Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
We've got good news. The world is open again, and people like you, people of faith, are traveling to Catholic sites around the world. Want to travel with exceptional Catholic leaders this fall, next year, or in the future? Are you looking to see specific sites, celebrate traditional Latin Mass, or travel to destinations without vaccine requirements? We are here to help you deepen your faith on pilgrimage. Give us a call at 1-800-842-4842 or visit us online at selectinternationaltours.com. Select International Tours is your pilgrimage company, and we have the perfect Catholic trip for you.
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
O Lord my God, thou searchest me. My heart and mind are known to thee. Nothing is hidden from thy eyes. When I sit down and when I rise, and from afar thou art discerning my thoughts and hopes, my secret yearning.
In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. I'd like to welcome you all to our Perseverance Conversation, our Perseverance family. Great to be with you. So as we start out our conversation today, let us start off with Mary, whose feast day we celebrate today. Mary is the Mother of God. Mary is the Mother of the Church. And Mary is the mother of each and every one of us. And in the Hail Holy Queen, we invoke Mary as our life, our sweetness, and our hope. So let us pray the prayer that Mary loves most. And that prayer is the Hail Mary. Together, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Now let's turn to our spiritual director. Thanks be to God, we have our spiritual director who is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has many titles. Holy Spirit is the Paraclete. The Holy Spirit is also the gift of gifts. The Holy Spirit is also known as the sweet guest of our souls. The Holy Spirit is also known as our sanctifier. He who makes us holy. The Holy Spirit is also our counselor. He's the one that gives us proper advice. The Holy Spirit is also known as our consoler. In the midst of our desolation, He's there to console us, to give us hope and courage. And as St. Paul says, the Holy Spirit helps us to pray. St. Paul says, we don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Holy Spirit intercedes with ineffable groans so that we can say, Abba. Abba, which means daddy or father. So let's unite our prayer as we turn to the Holy Spirit. Let's beg Him for a lot of light, a lot of joy, and a lot of peace. As we say, Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and enkindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your spirit, and they shall be created. And thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, that instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us by the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lady of Mount Carmel, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Michael the Archangel, pray for us. Saint Gabriel, pray for us. Saint Raphael, pray for us. Saint Ignatius Loyola, pray for us. Saint Faustina, pray for us. Saint Simon Stock, pray for us. Saint Teresa of Avila, pray for us. Saint John of the Cross, pray for us. All God's angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. So we welcome you all this morning, July 16th, in which we'll be honoring in a very special way Our Lady of Mount Carmel. So let's offer our prayer intentions. I will pray for all of you. In a special way, I'll pray for you in the Opus Dei, which is the work of God, which is the holy sacrifice of the Mass. So when I celebrate Mass today, I'll place all of you on the altar and offer special intentions. First intention will be that all of you will experience the presence, the protection, the love, the kindness, the tenderness of Mary as we celebrate her feast day today. Today we celebrate the feast day of Our Lady of Mount Carmel. So I'd like to invoke Mary's presence upon you and your loved ones. May this be a day in which you renew your love and your devotion to Mary. My second intention will be I'd like to pray in a special way for your families, especially your children and your teenagers, if you have teenagers, children, as well as many of you might be grandparents. May God bless the children and the teenagers. They're on vacation, but it's not vacation for you. It might be double work. I'd like to pray that you would be able to help them to use their time properly. We know that idleness is the workshop of the devil. When we have a lot of free time, sometimes that's when the devil works overtime, suggesting that we do certain things that are not pleasing to God. So keep your children involved, engaged. Bring them to daily Mass in honor of Mary. Make sure that they carry out their chores at home. Get them all out in the open air so that they can play sports. Help them to cultivate the habit of good spiritual reading, good reading in general. That's a great way in which we can cultivate our intellect by reading. Allow them to cultivate good friends. Good friends, good friendships are very important. Also, allow them to cultivate their talents. A great tragedy is when we have talents, but we don't use the talents properly. And finally, pray that they cultivate some type of hobby, some type of healthy distraction. Might be a garden. Maybe they cultivate the hobby of writing poetry or writing, or maybe painting. These are all hobbies or talents that can be pleasing to God. So there we have our intentions for your children. And last but not least, I'd like to pray for all of us, my third intention, that we have a real desire to pray more and pray better through Mary's prayers. Our sanctity, my friends, our sanctity, our sanctification depends upon union with God. We unite with God most especially through the sacraments, but also we unite with God by cultivating a deeper and deeper prayer life. I repeat, we unite ourselves with God by a deeper and deeper prayer life. So as we're trying to promote devotion, we're in the very middle of the month of July, and it's the month of the precious blood of Christ. A way in which we can honor the precious blood of Christ is by when we go to Mass, to be honoring the martyrs. Who are the martyrs? Who are these martyrs? These martyrs were those who shed their blood in imitation of Jesus Christ. Shed their blood in imitation of Jesus Christ. So almost every week in ordinary time, you're going to see the priest come out dressed in red. Once a week, sometimes more than once. And the red color of the chasuble that the priest wears, the outer garment, points to the fact that this man or woman died by shedding his blood for Christ. The most noble way in which we can honor God is by dying for him, even shedding our blood to imitate our Lord who shed his blood for us. And today being Friday is a day in which we want to meditate some time on the Passion of Christ. Mary stood at the foot of the cross. So today I'd like to talk about Our Lady of Mount Carmel, the readings in the Mass would be, we go to Exodus chapter 11, in which God tells Moses to prepare for the Passover, to kill the lamb, the family sit down and eat together, and to paint the doorposts with the blood of the lamb so that the angel of death will pass over the homes of the Israelites. And the angel of death will slaughter the firstborn of the Egyptians. The gospel has the Pharisees criticizing the apostles because on the Sabbath they're hungry and they're eating the grain. They're popping the heads of the grain into their mouths. And the Pharisees criticize the apostles for eating on the Sabbath. Those are the readings for today, but I'd like to focus my attention upon Our Lady of Mount Carmel and the scapular. Right here you can see a big scapular. Here you can see an image of Mary. And here you can see an image of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Here's a big scapular. Okay? A big scapular. So let's spend some time trying to understand the whole meaning of Our Lady Mount Carmel and the gift that she gave to us through St. Simon Stock, and it is this scapular. So let's learn together. We hope that we'll really end our conversation today, really getting to know and love Mary better and better. Okay, today, every year, we celebrate on July 16th. The Church celebrates Our Lady of Mount Carmel. She is a patroness, in a very special way, of the Carmelite Order, the male and female branches, as well as the lay associates. The Carmelite Order. You may be aware of some of the saints that are Carmelites. Among the most famous would be Saint Teresa of Avila. Someone, a nun from a convent, gave me this beautiful statue of Our Lady of Saint Teresa of Avila. Isn't that beautiful? Another Carmelite would be St. John of the Cross. Here's a statue of St. John of the Cross. Also, another Carmelite is St. Therese, as well as St. Elizabeth of the Trinity. And I was in Chile for a couple of years as a young Carmelite saint, St. Teresa de los Andes. There are more, but those would be among the most well-known Carmelite saints. And just that you're aware of it, so you can see this statue of Teresa of Avila. She is dressed with a veil, but also this long robe, looks like an apron. That is actually, it's a scapular. So the long robe that goes from almost her neck all the way down to her, almost to her feet, that is a scapular. She's wearing the scapular of Our Lady Mount Carmel. So one of the ways in which we can honor Mary is for all of us to wear the scapular. I hope and I pray that all of you have the scapular. Maybe it's not going to be this big, but you wear the scapular over your shoulders. And that's where the word scapular comes from, Latin scapula. Okay, where does this scapular come from? Where does it come from? Okay, Mary, she appeared in the year 1215. She appeared to a Carmelite priest, and the order was going through a real crisis. It was about to be disbanded, and Mary wanted to save this order, which is really hers, the order of Our Lady of Mount Carmel, called the Carmelites. And she appeared to this man here. I think you can see the picture. Look at the picture. You can see that there's a man dressed in brown. He has his hands extended. Mary is giving him something special, and she's giving him a scapular. Mary has a child, Jesus, and this is my little booklet on the scapular in Spanish, Il Vestido di Grazia, the garment of grace, which I invite all of you to try to purchase, the garment of grace. Some of you, for example, we have Carmen Lopez with us. It's really your feast day, Carmen. Whoever has the name Carmen, Our Lady of Mount Carmel, in a certain sense, it's your feast day today. So here's a picture. Here's another picture of Our Lady appearing to St. Simon Stock in this little booklet. So Our Lady appeared to St. Simon Stock on July 16th. And it was the year 1251. And she handed him a brown woolen scapular. And these are the words that Mary said to this saint, who would be instrumental in promoting the scapular and also saving the Carmelite order from disbanding and disappearing. She said to St. Simon Stock, she said, this shall be the privilege for you and the Carmelites, that anyone dying in this habit shall not suffer eternal fire. In the course of history, the investment, wearing, and loving of the scapular of Our Lady of Mount Carmel has spread throughout the whole world. So she promises those who wear this that they will not suffer eternal fire. In other words, that they will be saved. So if you don't have a scapular, you don't wear a scapular, this would be a day in which you want to try to purchase a scapular. And those who have your scapular, this would be a good day in which you can renew your consecration to Mary. Okay, the scapular, if you see it, how is it? Well, okay, what is the meaning of the scapular? As I said earlier, the word scapular comes from Latin, scapula. Scapular comes from Latin, scapula. And scapula in Latin means shoulder, because the scapula is worn over, it's worn over one's shoulders. You're seeing me right now. I'm going to place the scapular on. I've got the scapular in over my shoulders. It's over my heart also. How is it composed? Well, it's made of brown wool with a string or a cord connecting the two scapulars. Scapular is to be worn in the front, and the scapular to be worn in the back. So as such, the scapular is placed over the shoulder. Moreover, the scapular is to be worn at all times, except when you're bathing. One of the tricks of the devil is that for some reason, You take off the scapular, and then you forget to put it on again. Or you lose your scapular. I believe that that could be diabolic. Because it's kind of like you take the scapular off, and our spiritual life is a battle. We're in combat zone. We are soldiers for Christ. We're fighting the good fight. We're trying to run the good race. We're trying to win the battle. We're trying to win the battle for the salvation of our souls and the salvation of the ones that are entrusted to us. So the enemy, the devil, does not want you to have a scapular, and he doesn't want you to have your rosary. Once Padre Pio said to one of his friends, "Give me my weapon." And the brother said, "Father, you don't believe in fighting, do you? Give me my weapon." And the brother didn't understand. "Give me my weapon," he said. "Give me my weapon, which is the rosary." So the scapular is our shield. It is our shield. The rosary is our weapon. We are soldiers of Jesus and Mary. I repeat. The scapular is our shield against the attacks of the devil. Whereas the rosary is our weapon, our spiritual rifle to fight against the devil and his allies. Okay, so this scapular is also in this little booklet. It's known as the Garment of Grace. So hopefully all of you will be able to purchase this little booklet. I have it in Spanish now, but it's also in English. It's called the Garment of Grace, published by the Slaves of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. It's great because it explains the origin of the scapular. Then it gives a catechesis of the scapular. Then it goes through a series of miracles that are attributed to those who wear the scapular. You could sit down and read this 45 minutes. It's quick reading, but very, very interesting. This is called The Garment of Grace. Now, what does the scapular really mean? It's not a good luck charm. It's not a good luck charm. So if people think it's a good luck charm, they're totally wrong. Because we don't believe in superstition. We don't believe in good luck charms. We don't believe that. But one of the best analogies I can give is the following. And it's the idea of a uniform or a garment that identifies a person as to what his specific profession or vocation is. So, a soldier wears his uniform. And each branch of the armed services has their own specific attire. A baseball player wears the uniform of his team. For example, they call the Dodgers the Blue Crew. Or the Yankees, the pinstripes. Or the Red Sox, they wear red socks. So, a doctor, a soldier, a policeman, a fireman, a medical personnel are identified by the garb that they wear. In a parallel sense, Mary has her followers. They distinguish themselves by wearing the scapular of Our Lady of Mount Carmel. Yes. So call to mind the analogy of the uniform identifying the person with the group or profession that he belongs to. Following up upon the meaning of the scapular, if you like, giving the concept a different twist, those who wear the scapular of Our Lady Mount Carmel, they belong to the school of Mary. I certainly want to belong to the school of Mary, like these children of Fatima. I can see these children of Fatima, Jacinta, Francisco, and Lucia, they belong to the school of Mary. I want to belong also to the school of Mary. Or if you like, you belong to the family of Mary. Even more profound and intimate, those who wear the scapular of Our Lady Mount Carmel belong to the heart of Mary and embraced by the Immaculate and Most Pure Heart of Mary. In a real sense, they are seeking the heart of Mary as their refuge, their haven, their sure place of security amidst the many trials and temptations of life. So you see, the scapular is over my shoulder, but it's also close to my heart. It's as if Mary is giving me a loving embrace. And I just learned this morning, listening to a talk on Our Lady of Mount Carmel, that Our Lady of Mount Carmel also, she is the patron. She is a patron of sailors. Why is Mary considered the patron of sailors? Well, in a certain sense, we're all in the ship, which is the world or the church. We're surrounded by many enemies. The waves can kick up and storms, tempests can descend upon our lives. We can have also interior storms. So in the midst of the storms of life, Mary is the patron of sailors. And Saint Bernard wrote that beautiful, beautiful prayer and hymn, Mary Stella Matis, in which Saint Bernard presents us in a ship. Sailors 1,000 years ago did not have electricity or a lighthouse the way we have it. But the sailors, to arrive safely at shore, they depended a lot upon looking at the star in the sky, the Stella Matis, the star of the sea. By focusing on that and following that, they could arrive safely and securely at the port, and that's symbolic of the port of salvation. Now, here we have an image of Our Lady of Fatima. Is there any connection between Our Lady of Fatima and the scapular? There is. There definitely is. Why do I say there's a connection between Our Lady of Fatima and the scapular? For this reason. That Our Lady appeared to these children 6 times. May 13th. All the way up to October 13th. Early this week, July 13th, I talked about the apparition of Our Lady to the 3 children of Fatima, in which she manifested the reality of hell. And this vision of hell had a profound impact on these children, such that they started to pray more often, more fervently, and to offer up sacrifices for the conversion of poor sinners. But on October 13th, you had the great miracle of the sun, in which people came from all over the place. There are in between 70 and 80,000 people recorded. And the sun spun in the sky, kind of like a Ferris wheel and a kaleidoscope, emanating from this whirling of the sun, different colors. But the children were able to see various depictions of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, of Saint Joseph with the child Jesus, of Our Lady of Sorrows. Then also Our Lady of Mount Carmel came with the scapular. So the message of Fatima is not only to pray and to pray the rosary, but the message of Fatima also is to wear the scapular. And it's interesting that the two little brother and sister, Jacinta and Francisco, they died when they were very young. Lucia did not. She became a religious nun. She started off in Spain with the Dorothean nuns. Then she changed to become a Carmelite nun in the convent of Coimbra, where she was present until the year 2013. So she just died about 8 years ago. She lived almost to be 100 years of age, but she was a Carmelite nun. So Our Lady wants us to pray the rosary. She also wants us to wear the scapular as our garment of grace, belonging to the family of Mary, belonging to the school of Mary, residing in the heart of the Blessed Virgin Mary. On a personal note, I really love imposing the scapular of Our Lady Mount Carmel. When I was a child, when I made my first communion, I was given the scapular. And I was enrolled in the confraternity of Our Lady Mount Carmel. Maybe you're aware of this, maybe you're not. But once you are enrolled in the confraternity of Our Lady Mount Carmel through the scapular, you belong to the Carmelite order. And you belong to the Carmelite order as a lay associate the rest of your lives, and you receive many of the benefits and prayers that come from the Carmelite order. And once you have that scapular, you don't have to have another scapular blessed, because the original blessing lasts for all the scapulars that you'll wear until you pass from this life to the next. So the scapular is a very powerful sacramental. Over my many years as a priest in California, the first communion day, what I do is I pray the prayer of enrollment, and then I impose the scapular on the children. I've been doing that for many years. Now, whether or not they persevere in wearing the scapular, many do not, but at least I've done my work. They like to have the scapular at the beginning, but often, for some reason, they take it off. The scapular is a reminder that we are walking with Mary. We are present to Mary. We have Mary embracing us. We're in the heart of Mary. We should make a concerted effort not to take that scapular off, but to wear it proudly. Then, my friends, another thing I've done over the past few years, almost up until the pandemic, is that I put together a missionary group of lay people. And upon the invitation of the pastor, I would go to parishes for 4 to 5 weeks. And I'd go to the parish and I would say Mass for the people. I would give an hour lecture or talk. Most of it was done in Spanish, in which I was preparing the people to consecrate themselves to the Blessed Mother. And often this Marian mission that I would carry out, based a lot upon the book that I wrote, which is Consecration to the Blessed Virgin Mary through the Mysteries of the Rosary and the Seven Sorrows of Mary, our consecration program would culminate and conclude with a Mass. A Mass in honor of the Blessed Virgin Mary. A Mass in which, a beautiful Mass of consecration. And hopefully in the near future, once the pandemic calms down, we'll be able to go out and visit parishes. I've already been invited by someone to the church in Baldwin Park to do a consecration there. It's a matter of organizing ourselves well. But that beautiful Mass of consecration, my friends, part of the ceremony would be to impose the scapular upon the people. Then after the Mass, we'd expose the Blessed Sacrament, we'd pray the Holy Rosary. Then we'd have a Eucharistic Marian procession walking through the church. I'd be carrying the Blessed Sacrament. In front of me would be people carrying a statue of Our Lady Fatima, with the altar servers carrying the candles and the incense. And I'm sure that this ceremony of consecration to Mary, which I imposed thousands of scapulars for about 5 years, 4 to 5 years, I would have, I'd say, from 200 to 1,000 people participating in this Marian consecration program, in which it would conclude by the Marian procession, the Eucharistic Marian procession, and the blessing of the Blessed Sacrament. And then the people would go home with their scapulars. Even though maybe they already wore a scapular, imposing it again reinforces our great love for Mary. So the priest invests people of goodwill in the scapular. And that means once it happens, you actually you belong to Mary. You're no longer your own property, but you belong to Mary. So I'd like to just give you the formal investiture or enrollment prayer. So these are the words that the priest offers . We say, receive this blessed habit. It's like a religious habit, blessed habit. Praying to the Most Holy Virgin, that by her merits you may wear it without stain. In other words, we wear the scapular praying that we would avoid sin. We are all sinners, but Mary is without sin. We say, Ave Maria Purissima sin peccato concepito. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee. And then we continue and say, and that she may guard you from all evil. Mary will guide you from all evil. That's why this is kind of like a shield. We have many enemies, my friends. Many, many enemies in our spiritual life. Among which would be the devil, the flesh, and the world. Many, many enemies. That she would guard you from all evil. See this as your spiritual shield. And then bring you to eternal life. Now in this book, this booklet, Garment of Grace, I'd like to tell you one of the stories of the power of Mary. And the power of Mary's intercession. And the power of Mary to protect us from the evil that surrounds us. This is what happened. Happened about probably about 200 years ago, a little bit more, in the life of Saint Alphonsus Liguori. Saint Alphonsus Liguori is a great, great, great saint. And Saint Alphonsus Liguori wore the scapular. He wore the scapular of Our Lady of Mount Carmel. Here's a picture of Saint Alphonsus. There we have Saint Alphonsus. He was a bishop, founder of the Redemptorist Order. And there's a picture of Don Bosco. They both these saints wore the scapular. And both of these saints, the scapular that they wore is still intact. Now the scapular is somewhat fragile, but both the scapular of John Bosco and Saint Alphonsus is still intact after Saint Alphonsus 200 years, Saint John Bosco about 140 years. So this happened in the life of Saint Alphonsus. Very often, my friends, saints, they have a lot of followers and they attract a lot of good people. But saints also are often disliked by many people because they rock the boat. They disturb the status quo. They sometimes disrupt plans of people that are bad people. And sometimes prevent people from gaining money, dishonest money. So the saints are sometimes an obstacle in the road of the evil people. So it happened in the life of Saint Alphonsus. And this incredible story. He was celebrating Mass. During the course of the Mass, there was an enemy in the back of the church where he was celebrating the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. And this enemy, during the Mass itself, pulled out a gun and he shot at St. Alphonsus. Now the bullet went through the chasuble, went through the white alb, went through his religious habit, went through his black shirt, went through his undershirt, and the bullet was embedded in the scapular over his heart, but it didn't go beyond the scapular. What an incredible, incredible miracle. What was that? My friends, that was the hand of Mary, the shield of Mary, that was preventing this bullet from killing this great saint. So we see that Mary is able to protect us from the many evils that surround us. So it's like a shield. And an even more famous story of the protection of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Mary's protected many people. John of the Cross thanked Mary for not drowning. Saint Teresa of Avila attributed her salvation for her health to Saint Joseph and Mary. The little flower was very sick and she had a statue of Mary. Mary smiled at her and she got better. Saint Anthony Mary Claret, as a child, was engulfed by waves and he's about to drown, and the Blessed Mother brought him to the shore safely. St. John Damascene, his hand was cut off. He prayed to Mary and his hand was reattached. There are miracles upon miracles and upon miracles of grace. These are physical miracles. The Battle of Lepanto was saved by Mary. The Albigensians were brought back to the practice of the faith by Saint Dominic preaching the power of the rosary. The Philippines were saved by tanks and mortars and guns, which the soldiers were going to be shooting innocent people. And the soldiers saw in the air Our Lady, and they decided not to kill the innocent people. How many people have been saved through the intercession of Mary? Another one I was about to recount happened on May 13th, 1981. I was in Rome studying to be a priest. May 13th, 1981, John Paul II came out of the Vatican. He was in the Popemobile, blessing children. All of a sudden, they heard a gunshot, and John Paul II was shot in the stomach. Looked like he was dying. They prayed for him. They rushed him to the hospital. He underwent immediate surgery. His temperature rose. It looked like he was going to die. But through prayer and the intercession of Mary, he was saved. The following year, May 13th, 1982, John Paul II made a pilgrimage to Fatima, Portugal. He knelt down in front of Our Lady Fatima. He prayed to her in silence. Then he got up and he touched his rosary to Our Lady Fatima. And in the classical work on John Paul II by George Weigel, Witness to Hope, there's a page in which John Paul II says that the power of evil was great. The power of evil was great. However, the intercession of the power of Mary was even greater. And he said it was through Mary, she moved the bullet a little bit so that John Paul II would not be killed. So the Blessed Mother is very, very powerful against the physical attacks. But also Mary is even more powerful in our lives, related to the spiritual and moral attacks. Because our physical enemies can do us a lot of damage. But Jesus says they cannot cast the soul into hell. Rather fear he who can cast the soul into hell. So Our Lady helps us through the Rosary, through our consecration to her, through the wearing of the scapular, to ward off temptation. These are spiritual bullets that are being shot at us day and night. But for wearing the armor of Mary, we're living the state of grace. The evil that surrounds us is powerful. But the prayers of Mary are even more powerful. The prayers of Mary are more powerful than the evil that surrounds us. We are in spiritual battle. The Legion of Mary, I gave a retreat to them during the pandemic, says that Mary is like a powerful army leader in battle. Mary is like a powerful army leader in battle. So much so, if you go to Mexico, it's called La Virgen de Zapopan. And there in Guadalajara, they actually call Mary, you know what they call her there? In Spanish, it's called La Generala del Ejército. La Generala del Ejército. How do you translate that? La Generala del Ejército means that Mary is the general of the army. So Jesus is our king. He's our general. He's our leader. But right next to Jesus is Mary. Where the king is, also we have the queen. Where the king is, you also have the queen. Both the king and the queen have great power. We don't live in a monarchy, we live in a democracy, but those who lived in the monarchy back in the Middle Ages knew very clearly that the king, as well as the mother queen, had very, very much power. The most powerful person in the country would be the king and the queen. So by wearing our scapular and kissing our scapular, every time you kiss the scapular, my friends, you receive an indulgence, which means a blessing that you can apply to yourself as well as the souls in purgatory. Let us proudly, and with confidence, wear this scapular, known as the garment of grace. And by doing so, we are saying by wearing this scapular, that we belong to Mary. We, my friends, are in the school of Mary, we are in the family of Mary, we are in the shadow of Mary, we are in the presence of Mary, we are in the hands of Mary. And my friends, we are also, by wearing the scapular, we believe that we are enclosed in the heart of Mary. And we're in the heart of Mary, we're also in the heart of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So this is a day of great joy and rejoicing because it's a day in which we honor Mary. We'd all like to renew our consecration to Mary by saying a consecration prayer, but also by kissing our scapular and giving ourselves totally to Jesus through the hands and the heart of Mary. So have a happy feast day of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Think about Mary. Call upon Mary. Love Mary. Entrust yourself to Mary. And Mary will bring you to the heart of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Many, many blessings upon all of you. I'd like to bless you by means of the scapular now. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you, and we'll see you tomorrow.
This is Kevin O'Brien of EWTN's Theater of the Word. I'm excited also to teach middle school and high school literature, speech, and drama with homeschoolconnections.com, an online Catholic curriculum provider. Your student can meet with me online for a live, interactive class. Whether you take apologetics with John Martinoni, or grade school with Jackie De La Viaga, or any of the other 400-plus courses with homeschoolconnections.com, online Catholic learning for your homeschooling family is available for you.